Hello and welcome to another episode of The Beauty Blueprint, a podcast series of interviews with cosmetics industry leaders brought to you by Cosmetics Business. I'm Lucy and today I'm joined by Noella Gabriel, co-founder and MD of Elemis. Noella is a true beauty industry veteran, having started her career at the age of 22 when she opened a health store with her sister. From there she went on to gain qualifications in everything from business to nutrition and beauty therapy. Of course, along the way, Noella helped co-create Elemis, a brand that has become a staple on spa and salon shelves and treatment menus around the world. So here she talks about why listening is one of her top-rated skills and why success isn't always about making a lot of money. So hello, Noella.
Hello, Lucy. How are you?
Good, thank you. And how are you?
Very well.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So before I get started, of course, you're an expert in skin health and the spa industry. But before we get into that, I've heard on the street that your first love wasn't necessarily beauty, was it? It was singing.
Oh, my goodness. Where did you get that little bit of this? You're absolutely right. I was. At the age of 15, I was awarded a scholarship. And I was a mezzo-soprano.
Wow.
Which was, you know, ranged in between that contralto and soprano, which is a nice range. And I was very passionate about it. And then as I went on into sort of the early 20s, I kind of thought my whole career was being mapped out for me. And that's something that, you know, as you know me well, I'm a bit of a free spirit.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted to take a little bit more control over what I wanted to do. Mm. And I opted that that's not the route for me. So stopped it and decided to head into the world of beauty and beauty therapy.
And are there any parallels between singing and beauty therapy or skin health? I mean, did you find that transition easy or was it challenging?
Very easy, because of course the power of singing is the breath, and actually the power behind good skin health is the breath. And you might think, well, what's that parallel, Noella? You know, your breath is your cleansing breath. So as you breathe in oxygen, it interchanges, your blood comes along, picks up the oxygen, feeds the skin cell. So breath and skin health and a healthy skin and a healthy body and vitality runs really parallel. So to me, it was a very natural progression and exciting for me as well to be able to use that knowledge of the breath I had from a very early age.
So one of the first things that you did was you opened a health store, didn't you?
I did. I opened a health store called Acorn. And I'm Irish, as you gather.
Yeah.
You know, and I am from West Cork, Ireland. And I decided, both my sister and I, who had a real dying passion and yearning and hunger for knowledge around health, body. She was very much into the yoga and fitness and movement, and I was very much into skin health, the skin, what you apply, what you eat, and very much you are what you eat at that time.
Absolutely.
And that was driven very much by reading. I loved the whole world of Leslie Kenton, and you know,
yeah.
She was the very first one to bring out those amazing books on skin and skin health. And we decided we would open a health shop and bring the world of health and bran and Wheatgerm and lecithin to the West Cork people.
And how did you come up with the name Acorn? Where did that come from?
Well, we kind of thought that that was sort of a nice name. It sort of brought up something natural, growing, energy, vitality. So we went with that. And we were in it for about 2 to 3 years, and then we sold it on after that. But it was a great... We still laugh and reminisce about it. But during that time, I actually did a nutrition course.
At
the same time.
So that must have been quite an intensive
time. Way back at that time, when you think, yeah, it's quite a long time now. I'm 34 years out of Ireland, so it's a good 40 years ago. And to do a nutrition course, which I draw on that knowledge still today so much. So again, another little stepping stone to where I am today.
Absolutely. And you were 22 when you set up Acorn, weren't you?
Yes.
So was there anything that you did back then business-wise that makes you cringe or laugh today?
I think, you know, I was a free spirit, still am very much, but I really believe deep down in my belly, as I always refer to, is that if you give something 110%, it cannot fail. So my measurement of failure is very different to other people. You know, my measurement of failure would be if I didn't give it 110% and it didn't work, then for me that would be really disappointing. I believe that if you go for it and really believe in it and you really want it enough, you can make this work. And I think I've brought that strength along. I think what I really have learned is to listen a bit more. I wasn't a great listener at 22.
How have you learned to listen better over the
years? Because my whole day-to-day is with people. If I don't listen, then I think we would really be in a very difficult position. I think I listen. I think I've become a better listener, I hope. If you're managing people, you must listen. In fact, managing people is about listening. It's about listening to what they really need, and then I delivering what the business needs. And somewhere in the middle there, then I think there's that compromise and we find something that makes it work.
You talked a little bit about failure just then. Do you think failure is something that is vital for progression in a career or in business?
I mean, for me, it's what is failure? You know, I think a failure is not to give it a try. Other people would say, give it a try and did it work? I never really look at did it work or not. I think for me, I've gained experience. I've gained people experience. I've gained business experience. I've gained knowledge of that industry. So to me, it's ticked a lot of boxes. I think success isn't always about making a lot of money for me.
I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? So you actually trained as a beauty therapist
yes.
as well, didn't you? Where did you work as a beauty therapist initially?
I worked in my hometown, actually, because I did the qualification, the Sedesco qualification, which at that time was, you know, the creme of the creme.
Absolutely,
went forward
yeah.
into that very niche qualification. And I wanted that because that was my passport to the world. If I didn't get that, I would not have been able to travel. Because the Sedesco qualification is the only qualification that takes you at that time all over the world. And to me, it was really, really important that I could travel and learn and look at different skins and different bodies and how our lifestyle and different lifestyles and really look at how they're manifested in the skin and in the body. So I worked in my hometown and I had to do work experience and I had to do my case histories because I was running parallel with that as an aromatherapist as well. So, you know, I wanted that qualification. So I was very hungry for knowledge.
I can tell. So you were doing a nutrition
yeah,
course.
Yeah, I was doing nutrition. Aromatherapy. I was learning about skin, and you know, I had a lot of knowledge coming in, and to me, that would kept my soul and it kept the whole passion around this industry, and I still love to learn today.
How did you manage to juggle all those balls at the time?
I'm a woman, and I'm a multitasker. I'm a mom as well, so multitasking, it comes easily to me. I love multitasking. I think if I'm not, I'm bored. I just think keeping lots of things going is the way forward, really. It keeps me alive.
And do you think that having that experience early on as a beauty therapist was the right decision at the time rather than going in and founding a beauty business, Elemis, straight away?
Oh, gosh. I think it was one of the biggest milestones in my whole journey because it really gives you the value of client care, customer care, and it's all about that client. And I think we sometimes, if you don't get down to that level, you lose that. And I think that's been an integral part of Elemis True is client care, customer journey, listening to the client, delivering what the client wants rather than what we want to give her. And that balance is a very fine balance.
That's so interesting. So how do you go about listening to your customers today?
Well, for us, for a big part of the Elemis journey, as you're aware, Lisi, is consultation. And we committed to that journey since day of launch. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, sitting a client down for 45 minutes when we're time poor and we know that, you know, time is so valuable today. It really means about engaging at another level, whether that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whether it's a consultation online, whether it's in a department store on the high street, whether it's in a busy, busy spa. It's just stopping the client in their tracks and spending quality time. It's not about the quantity, it's about real engagement. And we've educated and committed into that level of education since day of launch.
And you launched Elemis many years ago, I think, is it?
I did.
What's the anniversary?
Well, actually, I joined it in 1989, but it launched into the market in 1990.
Okay, so today it's part of the L. Caston family.
Correct.
How does it feel to have watched the brand grow like that?
I mean, what a story. And the L. Caston acquisition is phenomenal. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. It's you know, it's our moment to really bring the dream, to realize the dream. And the dream for the three co-founders, which is Aurel, Sean and myself, was always to make Elemis the number one global skincare brand. And that was a dream. And we are now in a position to realize that. And wow, you know, fantastic.
Do you think that a brand needs to adapt and change over time? I mean, Elemis, as you said, it was acquired by L. Catterton. That's a massive change for any brand or company to go through. Do you think that is necessary?
Oh, I do. I actually do. I think it has to change. A brand has to evolve. A brand just cannot stand still because people's needs are changing. Skincare needs are changing. Their expectation from a product is different. You know, people today want results in 4 days, 5 days. You know, 20 years ago, they were willing to wait 30 days. You know, so it's faster results, better product, better innovation, you know, all of that. And to do that, you need to be partnered up with a partner that have that vision for the brand as well. So L. Catterton bring to Elemis the same vision. They want the same end. And for us, at 25 years later, what a fantastic partnership to realize. So yes, it's a dream come true.
Why do you think consumers want results so much quicker today than they used to?
I think we're fed a lot of miracles, we're fed a lot of dreams, wishes. I also think the consumer, you know, we need to look at this mature millennial today, which, you know, you write about constantly, is that client is now actually willing to spend a little bit of time on their skincare. They are time poor. We do realise that. But they want a better product, they want a good product, they're willing to invest into it, and they're willing to spend a little bit of time on it. Now that, to me, is really exciting.
So what's it like to work at Elemis today, and how many people work at Elemis?
Well, I hope it's as exciting as it was 25. It certainly is for me. My benchmark always was that, you know, if I got up one morning and thought, God, going in here again today, I would give up. And I've never had that, Lucy. I think every day is different. Every day and every year is different. You know, I'm either, you know, I'm now working across different retail channels. You know, we have 82 retail stores. We have, 113,000 spas all over the world. Globally, we're in 92 countries. You know, you're juggling different challenges all day, every day. We do have now 550 employees, which is fantastic.
That's amazing.
You know,
yeah,
and if you bring in the US, we're just short of 600. So that's a dream come true as well.
And what is a typical day for you? I know you said it's different every day, but is there anything that you do on a routine basis? Or?
I do. I get up very early. I'm an early bird, but I do get to bed very early. So burning the candle, you can't do both. I get up incredibly early. I swim every morning. And that is very much to go back to what we started this interview with, to reconnect with the breath. It helps me manage my stress level. I run through why I'm swimming. What are my priorities today? It gives me a little bit of me time, and it also gives me a real focused, grounded approach to my day, so that I don't bring all the stresses and the angst into the day with our employees. And I think that's really important. I have a diary full. I have my EA manages my diary very much, and it is very much, and it's an open door policy. So anyone can walk in. If you don't have an appointment, it doesn't really matter. If it's an urgency for today, a decision needs to be made. And for me, Lucy, decision, time is money. So it's about making that decision. Hopefully, I make the right one. We don't always make the right one, but making it is important.
That's always the sort of hope, isn't it?
It is. I mean, yeah, we're not that perfect. We don't always make the right one, but we try. And if we don't, then we'll amend it. But I think the important thing is the decision is made, and people can get on and action that. So that's what's important.
You mentioned that you've got an open door policy. How important is it to you then to have that sort of flow and that freedom of movement within Elemis and your working space?
I think it's really important for me because moving up into management and into senior management, you know, was something that I had to do my way. And that's very important. You know, I'm not the norm. It's always a little bit, I'm always a little bit off center. I do things my way. So an open door policy was about the only way that I could really sit in that chair and execute being a managing director, unless I felt that really I was connecting with those people out there all day, every day.
So how do you view yourself today? Are you a managing director, a co-founder, a product development specialist, or are you something else, or a mixture?
Well, I'm a managing director, co-founder. That's my day-to-day job. I am still very much in the creative seat because we are. It's very important that that train of innovation, that continuity of that innovation runs through the brand. And I think it's one of our key successes today as well, that the co-founders are involved in that. We really do know what our Elemis consumer wants. We know what Mrs. Jones out there is looking for next. It's important that we don't follow trends and we don't do gimmicks, that we're really leading the way rather than being a follower.
And Elemis has really rooted itself in aromatherapy, but it's also very high tech and it's got all these new biotech treatments. How have you managed to strike that balance without losing the brand's identity?
I think we're about the only brand that has sort of kept that concept, and we really feel that concept. I think being a lifestyle brand, if you think we launched that 26, 27 years ago, that means that we are constantly moving and changing to meet your ever-changing needs. But we need to be in your gym bag, we need to be in your travel bag, we need to be in the dressing table, we need to be in your bathroom, we need to be that product at the bottom of your pocket when you have a skin need or a life need. And I think that can also be addressed by great aromatics. Aromatics can enhance the experience. And people today want an experience. They want the results, but they want the feel-good factor. They want great skin health. They want it done consciously, mindfully. They want skin wellness. They want to, you know, that whole, you know, to me, it's that whole cocktail of awareness, great innovation, results, and smell the difference as well.
So consumers are basically really demanding.
Very demanding, Lucy, very demanding. But it does push us to be better, and I think that can't be a bad thing.
And with the biotech treatments, I mean, how did you go about developing those? Because that was something quite innovative at the time when they launched, which was quite a few years ago now.
Well, we really wanted to bring the best of technology together with the best of hands. And touch is very powerful. Touch apply the right way with a great active is very powerful. Marry that up with high frequency, galvanic, you know, light therapy today, you know, oxygen. Bring the best so that our clients have the best of innovation. That's really important to Elemis, I think, that we don't hold our client in a place. You know, if we acknowledge that the client wants light therapy, we will embrace that in an Elemis way. If they want galvanic, if they want lifting microcurrent, we will embrace that in an Elemis way. And I believe biotech is incredibly innovative. You know, look at that whole amber, that whole acid trio, looking at the whole mitochondria of the cell. It's very forward-thinking, Lucy.
So, talking about a forward-thinking product then, Procollagen Marine Cream was created, it was over a decade ago now, wasn't it? I mean, what was the secret to that product? Because it has just gone from here to way up high.
I think the secret of that product is its texture, without a shadow of a doubt. It is a gel cream, and everybody falls in love with the texture. Then we married it up with this powerful cocktail of seaweeds. And then the top note is rose and mimosa. I mean, how could you go wrong? And then that was the very first product that we decided that, you know what, let's put this product in and see, can we get real serious clinical measurements from this product? So it was a real stake in the ground for Elemis. We are now going to be a key player in anti-aging or age maintenance or premature aging, whichever, you know, space you want to live in. And really, this product works. In 30 days, these are the results appear on your skin. So I think it was a major turning point for Elemis. It was our first serious anti-aging product to launch. And it really is today still, you know, one of the number one bestsellers.
How do you think it's managed to retain that spot when all of these other new and maybe slightly gimmicky products are hitting the market? Do you think
texture delivers. I think the most important thing, Lucy, is that people look in the mirror and they see the results. You know, you can give the texture, but if it doesn't deliver, people won't come back. The return client is the most interesting part of all of this journey. It's very easy to get the first purchase. It's what's really hard is to really keep that brand loyalty. And I think that's what Procollagen does very well.
So what other tactics do you have to promote brand loyalty at Elemis?
I think, you know, experience is very important. I think knowledge, wherever the touch point for Elemis, I would love that woman to come away and go, gosh, that girl really gave me information that I could get nowhere else. So I think it's another level of knowledge, it's another level of experience, and ultimately the brand delivers the results.
So going back to skincare as a market and a category, what is really exciting to you in skincare today?
Well, how could you be bored in skincare today? I think it's probably actually going through one of the most exciting phases of all. I mean, we have basic skincare turned up on its head. You know, people are double cleansing, they're seruming, they're doing their trends, their superfoods, you know, our Elemis new superfood, phenomenal launch, you know. They're experimental. They're coming into the brand much younger. That's a real plus. You know, they're now really looking at 23, 24. They're going into serious skincare. Whereas I would believe that in 10, 15 years ago, that was much older. You know, people are now doing a cleanser, toner, day and night cream, certainly at 23, 24.
Why do you think people are interested younger?
Because they're educated more. I think, you know, you can be educated online. Look, you know, our Elemis.com. You know, go on there and you'll be really educated on your skin at a level that you never thought possible. Look at your magazines. Look at what we're doing today. You know, a podcast. You know, it's ever ready. It's on your mobile phone. You know, if you have any query today, even I am going on my mobile phone to look at a solution for X, Y, and Z. They're going on at the nearest app they have today to find out, how should I apply this? I have a concern, what is the solution? And I think that's the key driver.
Are there any new exciting innovations then, or trends that Elemis has picked up on that it will be innovating in?
I think superfood is huge for us. I think that has really tapped into that mature millennial, I think, who really has an association with, if I eat well, I'll get skin health. And skin health is fashionable today. I think that's a new trend.
That glowing.
Yeah. You know, you look in the mirror, you have a radiance, you have a glow. Rather than being looking 10 years younger, that's not really what we're looking for. We're looking for great skin health, skin radiance. Almost it reflects what we eat. You know, so that when you look in the mirror, you see that superfood skin or that super you, super skin, association with, you know, my Nutribullet in the morning and my, you know, my spirulina and my berries and my juices. So there's that running parallel with what I want to use on my skin and what I eat and what I put my body into. So that total wellness. And then, of course, underneath that, underpinning, you have mindfulness. So everything has to be done in a very conscious way.
It's that holistic.
It is. It's really bad. I mean, mindfulness to me is the new word. Mindfulness and wellness is the new word for well-being and holistic, meaning that, you know, I am a true product of my lifestyle choices, Lucy.
So just talking about some of your personal influences or inspirations, who would you say has really made an impression on you in your career to date? Who's inspired or influenced you?
I think I thought long and hard about that one. I think I do read a lot. I like Brené Brown for, you know, TED Talks, and she's a little bit of inspiration that drops into my day, that's for sure. I like because she pioneers women. And I think that's important. You know, I'm not an ultimate feminist wearing the bandwagon, but I do think women have a place and a respectful place in all walks of life. And I think business is one of those. I think, you know, I go back to Leslie Kenton's books. I mean, they were my collector's items in my early days. And, you know, those books talked about skin health way back. You know, they talked about magnesium and selenium and potassium in the skin, which were ingredients we never even thought about, you know, the whole skin nutrients. So skin health and that inspiration and lifestyle, I think the industry, how could you not be inspired by this industry?
I would agree with that.
It just never stands still. And, you know, to me that shows and endorses every day that I made the right choice to be where I am today.
And what one piece of advice would you give then to somebody that aspires to achieve what you have today?
I think the expectation today is very high and giving very little. I think we get back what you give. You know, just be prepared to learn. Give everything a shot, but to learn rather than it being the check at the end of the month. And I think that, you know, we need to get the balance back on that. I think everyone is, you know, the next step up on the ladder and the next salary increase, you know, hold on a minute, you know, what are we putting into this? What's your commitment to learn along the way? So be a good listener, be hungry for knowledge, and the rest will all come into play. That's for sure.
Well, on that note, I think that brings us to the end. But thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lucy. It's a pleasure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.